Thank you, Lord, that it is in Jesus Christ you made man, made flesh, that we are able, Father, to know that you can identify with our struggles. You can have every sensitivity to the struggles that we are facing in our earthly walks. And we give you such thanks, Father, that in your divine purpose that you came to earth as man to know our feelings and to know our emotions, to know our doubts and our hurts. And we thank you so much, Father, for that incredible blessing of Jesus Christ, and that in him we know that everything that we face will be overcome, even death itself. And so thank you, Father, for your glorious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you so much that we can praise your holy name through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Will, and the band. Great to see you. Thanks for coming out in the rain. I just got back from the U.S., land of Donald Trump and hamburgers. And I have to say, I'm kind of glad to have some rain. Sorry to be a party pooper, but I think we sort of needed it. And I don't know about you guys, but I have a confession to make. When I'm on holiday, does anyone like me kind of go on holiday from God a little bit? So it's great to be back, and thank you. Thank you for embracing me despite my backsliding. One announcement, and that is next Thursday evening over at St. Margaret's, we're having our summer drinks party in the garden starting at 5:15, from 5:15 to 7:15. Apparently, Jeremy is going to splash out, and he's bought some Krug, some proper champagne. Or did I get that wrong, Jeremy? Oh, I got that wrong. We live in hope. Pray. Speaking of praying, Jeremy's praying, I'll sit down.
Well, it's great you're back, James. We've really missed you. It's lovely to have you back. It's very good. And the other piece of good news is Ben, who's just squirming at the back, got engaged last week. So that really is very good news. We ought almost to cancel the sermon and just open a bottle of champagne. But alas, I wasn't quite sure she'd say yes, I should have known. And therefore, I didn't chill it as quickly, as profoundly as I should have done. So I'm afraid you're faced with me and the talk. But some of you look quite enthusiastic about that. Most of you don't, but never mind. It'll only be a few moments. May I read to you a few verses from Romans chapter 6? It's not up there. Romans chapter 6 on page 1070 of the Church Bibles. Romans chapter 6, page 1070, 1070. Romans 6 and verse 13. Paul writing to these first century Christians in Rome wrote this, as we see in verse 13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. Bank Tube Station on a Tuesday evening about 10:30 is normally a quiet place to be, even on the Central Line. Thursday night, Friday night, it's wild, but Tuesday is normally quite quiet. And I've been to supper with friends in Clapham, come back up the Northern Line to Bank and onto the Central Line. As I got off the Northern Line at Bank, there was an unexpected amount of noise. And as I went up the staircase, I realised there were two women having a really violent argument and hitting each other with their handbags. It was a very extraordinary experience. And the longer we were on the platform of the Central Line, the louder and louder and more vicious the allegations became. So different from the quiet civilization, normally about 11 o'clock on Tuesday night, the Central Line. And most of the rest of us were huddled together at one end of the platform while this violent altercation was going on about halfway along. And eventually one of the blokes in this little group said, Father, I think this is an opportunity for you. I thought, why me? But, you know, naturally being a clergyman of the church, I smiled and said, no, if there's anyone who can bring peace, it's you. I thought highly unlikely, rather. And after it, I could see from the kind of body language of the group that I'd become part of that they expected me to do something, to seize the opportunity to bring peace to these two warring parties. Anyway, I very slowly walked along the platform thinking, I'm sure they're just going to throw me on the line, actually. The way they're feeling at the moment. But praying in tongues all the time quietly. And to my great relief, an officer of the British Transport Police appeared from the other end of the platform and things became much quieter. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me from that opportunity. On the whole, I love taking up the opportunities you give me, but this was an opportunity. It was not an opportunity. I was relishing taking up. And just at that point, the eastbound Central Line arrived, and I'd never got on the tube quite as quickly and with as much delight as I did at that particular moment. And Paul is writing here to these first century Roman Christians about being those who take up the opportunities that Jesus gives us, being people whom God can use in whatever situation we find ourselves in him. We see at the end of verse 13, he wrote, offer every part of yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. It's a big thing to do, a big ask, actually, by the Apostle Paul. Offer every part of yourself to God. And we can't help wondering whether it's a marvelous thing to aim for, and on our deathbed we might get there. But Paul doesn't allow us to get away with that. For the word translated instrument in our Bibles was one normally used with reference to tools that a craftsman might use in his everyday work. Implements that he'd know how to use and was confident that he would in using whenever the need occurred. And Paul uses that word so that we can be sure that Jesus is not asking us to do the impossible. He knows us, he knows our situations, is realistic about how brave and bold and open we're likely to be. But he wants us to be those who are ready to respond to opportunities that come about in our daily lives, ones that we can handle and which are clearly of God. My opt-out on Tuesday evening was, I'm not quite sure this is of you, Lord, and I'm not quite sure I can handle it. But nevertheless, the pressure was on. But Paul gives us a freedom in this. God's not going to ask you normally to do anything you couldn't handle. Of course, Jesus is open about the fact that it won't always be easy. The word offer here has about it a sense of sacrifice, a recognition that it can sometimes be costly to do what God asks us to do. There's always a bit of us that really doesn't want additional commitments, doesn't want any extra hassle, isn't it? We sometimes feel quite rightly we're juggling quite a lot, actually quite enough, in fact, and we don't want any more complications in our lives. That's why the Apostle Paul uses grammar, which makes it clear to us there's a clear choice that we have to make. Offer everything to God as instrument. I want to be someone you can use, given the choice of doing what I want or what your agenda is. My priority will always be what you want me to do. But given it won't always be easy, why should we do it? Life is on the whole quite complicated enough. Why on earth should we make it more pressurized and complicated? And Paul says, we're up for it, firstly, because of the cross. He says here, we've been brought from death to life. What the Lord Jesus did in being used by his Father was much costlier than anything we might do. And the more we reflect on the cross, the more our increased sense of amazed gratitude will make us want to be used by God, want to make a difference for him. And secondly, it's not just down to us. We're in partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ, a partnership in which the Holy Spirit does the bulk of the heavy lifting. Apostle writes here about being under grace. It's never been done to us. There's almost nothing we can do that's of lasting value by ourselves. The Lord Jesus knows we're totally dependent on him and his resources to become those whom he can use, who are those who will take up the opportunities he gives us. In the light of all this, the thought of being used by God is actually something, of course, we all in theory want to do. But as we heard earlier, it's sometimes making a clear choice. And to do that, we need to be refreshed regularly by a new sense of the love of God seen at the cross of Christ. Refreshed regularly and reassured too that he's there with us, doing the heavy lifting. That's what spiritual health is all about. You all look spiritually healthy, but as I've thought about this over the last couple of days or so, I've thought, how aware am I of the Holy Spirit at work in my life? And how much do I reflect on the cross?